When you're living in the midst of something difficult, it seems like time just drags on. But once you get to the end of that, you look back and you see, well, it wasn't as hard long as it could have been. And if you grew from it, it was so worth it. Well, we come to this story in the Bible in 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 1 through 6, and it says, after many days. And so it's kind of like that construction in the Bible where it says, now it came about. And it literally says, it came to pass. And so things aren't by chance. God sovereignly times things, and he providentially carries out his purposes with us, and he does it here with Elijah and Israel. And we need to learn to see the hand of God bringing things to pass in our lives according to his timing and his purposes, as his thoughts are not ours, so his timing is often not ours as well. After many years, it's actually the third year here, for God's people, no matter how fast or slow the years may seem to pass, God deals with us on a day-to-day, one day at a time basis. Every day of a believer's life is important to God and should be for us too. And so when you stop and think about it, if God is so concerned, shouldn't I be as well? That means we need to carefully watch how we're walking day by day. Each day is to be looked at circumspectly. That means you look around and you wisely evaluate, because we have our own sinful way of doing things, and there's a constant threat of our enemies. And so each day we need to number it. We need to realize it's important, because we have opportunities in the view of the shortness of life. It's to be viewed in the light of eternity, because every day has eternal ramifications. That's why we start the day off with prayer. We're saying, God, would you help me? I don't know what's ahead of me here today, but would you help me with this day? We stop and we think about these many days, and there's the point of a specific time and plan that God had provision for Elijah for a certain number of days at the brook, only to God. But Elijah didn't know. And so he sent him to accomplish a purpose. And then the Lord took him out of that thing and moved him into something else. He started spending time with this widow and her son. And so God is inexhaustible, and God's understanding of things is inscrutable. There's no end to his understanding. So we continue with the verse. It says, after many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. So God finally spoke to Elijah and sends him back to King Ahab and the people with the truth. But God had already been speaking through the conditions of barren fields and sealed up heavens. And there was a severe famine in Samaria. This word of the Lord, this phrase occurs in the Bible 254 times, and it is used of God's special revelation to mankind to bring people to himself and to provide the guidance for their lives they so desperately need. Go show yourself to Ahab. He's commanded to hide himself earlier. He's commanded to show himself now. And he's willing to do one as the other. And neither of them is easy. He says, I'll send rain on the face of the earth. There, they had experienced the fulfillment of Deuteronomy 28 when God promised that there would be a drought if you're disobedient. Well, look at these next verses here. Verse 2, so Elijah went to show himself to Ahab. Now the famine was severe in Samaria. Ahab called Obadiah, who was over the household. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, and when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by fifties in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said to Obadiah, go through the land to all the springs of water and to all the valleys. Perhaps we may find grass and save the horses and mules alive and not lose some of the animals. So they divided the land between them to pass through it. Ahab went in one direction by himself, and Obadiah went another direction by himself. There is significance in this passage here. He was the one who had promised that there'd be no rain, and now he's supposed to go and talk to the king. Wow. For more than 3 years, Ahab persistently had searched for Elijah to kill him. And so, I don't know about you, but could you imagine the humiliation to the king's arrogant heart and the increased resentment against that prophet who was able to avoid the search of the king, his men, and allies? And now the Lord says, go show yourself to him. There's a story of a monk that illustrates what it means to trust the Lord in difficult circumstances like Elijah faced. There was a monk who excelled all his peers, and for leisure and relaxation, he was a bird watcher. One afternoon, he came across a very rare bird that flew over the ledge of a high cliff and lit on a small ledge down below. The priest excitedly peered over, but to no avail, so he stretched a little farther and a little farther until finally he slipped. As he fell over the edge, he was able to grab a shrub that grew out of the rock. His arm was tiring, but being a man of faith, he thought proudly, someone will be on top to help me. So he yelled, hey up there, I need help. Hey, anybody up there? Then a deep voice was heard, the voice of God. The voice said, I am here, do you have faith? Oh yes, answered the monk. Then let go, replied God, and I will take care of you. Just rest in my care. For a moment there was dead silence. Then the monk said, anybody else up there? When the Lord brings trying and difficult circumstances into our lives and tells us, as the Word does, to trust Him and move out in faith, how do we act? Do we look around for other solutions? Do we look into a bag of tricks and come up with strategies for self-protection, like escape or withdrawing ourselves or defensiveness or other defense-like strategies? Do we become depressed? Do we complain and murmur? Or blame? Do we lose the joy of the Lord? Well, verses 2 through 6 here contrast the character of Elijah with that of the king. Elijah moved out in obedience to do the will of God. He had been available for ministry and to confront the people concerning their spiritual needs. But King Ahab, he's supposed to be the leader of Israel. It's a whole nother story. With his people suffering from the drought, he was out looking for grass for his mules and cattle rather than caring about the conditions of his people. So what is that character? Someone has said character is what a man is in the dark. It's what we are in private. It's in our homes when faced with temptation, or here, the test of courage when the so-called odds are stacked up against us. Elijah was called to ministry, as all of us are, and our ministry is to glorify God and minister the needs of others. But ministry and leadership are the only religious activities, religious business needs to be done with real spiritual character as a byproduct of a deep and living faith. God told Elijah, go show yourself to Ahab. And that was God's command. And then I will send rain to the face of the earth. And that was God's promise. But obedience to that command also meant glory to the Lord. It was a testimony that God's word by God's prophet's mouth can be trusted. For people of faith, spiritual integrity and character, for people who love God and people, the blessing is in the privilege of serving the Lord and people, seeing God's name shown for what it is, vindicated and Satan defeated. And that's the ultimate goal of the word, love for God and love for others. It's a heart of ministry, service and sacrifice. But unfortunately, many people know about service and sacrifice and simply how to spell the words. Elijah had to have his eyes on the Lord. So are we living one day at a time, resting and waiting on the Lord? And drawing from His wisdom and strength, waiting on His wise and perfect timing? Are we listening daily to God in Scripture? Are we taking time to learn God's principles, and then are we using them to direct our path, to build our faith and character, to keep us from running ahead of the Lord with our tactics? Do we have the courage to act on our convictions, or are we ever looking for ways to avoid having to step out in faith and trust the Lord? What's going on in your life that needs a decision of faith, but you're afraid to do so because of possible consequences? So you see, Ahab was more concerned about his horses and his cattle. It says that in history books that he had over 1,000 horses. So he was more worried about that. How are you doing? Do you care more about your little hobbies and collections than you do about the people that are around you? It'll be evident in how you treat your friends and how you treat your parents and how you treat one another. Let's be people that are different than that, that reach out to God and trust God and follow God through the person of Jesus Christ.